while they play.
For broadening our horizons.
That is the Andromeda Galaxy, which is an island of hundreds of billions of stars, 25 million, million, million kilometres in that direction.
For all the moments we share.
It is a great party celebrating the end of the world's biggest music festival. Welcome to the last night of the proms.
For all of us, the BBC, on radio, TV and online.
You're listening to BBC Radio 3. It's just gone 11 o'clock. And time now for Jazz on 3, the best in contemporary jazz, presented by Jez Nelson.
Good evening and welcome along to Jazz on 3. By now, you may have heard the very sad news that the piano player John Taylor died last week at the age of 72. A British jazz hero who won international acclaim, as well known for his poetic and charming compositions as his deft and moving piano style. Well, I'll close tonight's programme with some music from John and the thoughts of a friend, admirer and student of his, Liam Noble. Our live music tonight comes from two of the hippest musicians of our times, brought together by Jazz on 3 for their very first performance together. We invited them along to our studios, got them to shake hands, and then shut them in for an afternoon with nothing pre-prepared and recorded the results. The very first meeting of US drummer Mark Juliana and UK reeds player Shebaka Hutchins in an exclusive, totally improvised session coming up very soon. And we'll be profiling another energetic drummer, Steve Noble, in the latest in our Unsung Hero series. First up, though, a new release that really needs sharing. I say new. Actually, it's a 25-year-old recording that has been long and eagerly awaited by the UK jazz fraternity. It comes from Loose Tubes. It's the third release chronicling their farewell residency at Ronnie Scott's that happened back in 1990. Alongside the original music, the CD also features three pieces commissioned and recorded by Jazz on 3 at the same venue during their comeback tour last year. Well, regular listeners to the show will have heard those pieces a few times in recent months, so I've gone for one of the previously unreleased tracks recorded at Ronnie's back in 1990. This is The Wolf's Dream and The Wild Eye. recorded almost 25 years ago during their last ever performances at Ronnie Scott's. Before that is, that they reformed last year and played a fantastic week-long session there. That was Loose Tubes and a piece written by the trumpet player Chris Batchelor, and it featured the clarinet player Di Pritchard with that really nice sort of Middle Eastern or maybe Ethiopian groove, something that I'm sure Shabaka Hutchings would definitely approve of, much influenced by the musics of those regions. And we're going to hear from Shabaka in just a moment, and that album called Arriving is going to be out on Lost Marble Records at the end of August. And Loose Tubes will be back at Ronnie Scott's. It really is a fantastic place to see them live, crammed onto the small Ronnie stage. They're going to be back there in September, as well as playing at the Hertfordshire Jazz Festival. This is Jazz on 3 with me, Jez Nelson. That's the American drummer Mark Juliana tearing it up with an electrified Brad Meldow as Meliana, as heard on Jazz on 3 a couple of years ago. Well, Mark Juliana is one of the hottest drummers around at the moment, and when we heard that he was going to be back in London with his Beat Music project, we thought, how can we lure him back into the studio? Well, his mechanical computer-influenced drum style in the context of a spontaneous collaboration seemed like an exciting prospect. So we asked him to name a UK musician he'd really like to collaborate with. He chose the man who supported him on that night when he did that gig at the Barbican with Brad Meldow. That's saxophonist and clarinet player Shabaka Hutchings, well known around these parts for a wide range of projects, including Sons of Kemet, playing with the Sun Ra Orchestra, and of course a former Radio 3 New Generation jazz artist. Well, both Mark and Shabaka have been making waves on opposite sides of the Atlantic in the last 5 years or so, but they've never played together before until now, when we paired them up in the Jazz on 3 studios. Before they started playing, we asked them both, as well as Mark's bass player Chris Morrissey, what they knew of each other's music. First up, we'll hear from Shabaka.
I just heard the project with Brad Meldow, Meliana. And then after that, I checked out all of your stuff on the internet. And that's when I kind of first came across Beat Music. Other than that, I'd not heard loads before that kind of whole process.
Yeah, we had shared the stage at the Barbican a couple years ago. So I got to hear those guys then, and then similarly have just been trying to keep up online.
I hadn't heard him play before, and Mark sent me some clips of his band that I just watched yesterday, actually, and it made me very excited to come and meet him and play.
My whole thing is just relax and just take everything as it comes. Just because of the kind of broad range of things that I do, I can't kind of get hung up on the way of playing. Being like able to just go with the flow and know that as you kind of start to get to know each other, be familiar with how you each play, then it always becomes better.
So let's hear what happened when we shut the door, turned on the mics and left them to improvise. Here's the first piece from the session, which, by the way, we also filmed and is available to watch on the Jazz on 3 website. Chris Morrissey is on bass, Shabaka Hutchings, clarinet and tenor saxophone, and Mark Juliana drums. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
I think you might call that spontaneous combustion. Chris Morrissey on bass, Mark Giuliana on drums, and he's a choice of special guest collaborator from the UK, Shebaka Hutchins, playing clarinet and tenor saxophone. And we'll have the rest of that session in just a couple of minutes' time, but we thought we'd find out from the guys how they were finding the process of working together for the very first time.
Well, I think typically when Chris and I are playing, especially in a beat music context, the vast majority of the time we're providing the foundational groove elements. And I really love the way Shebaka plays. There were times where he became the rhythm section. As a drummer who likes rhythm, that was really exciting to feel his beat and, you know, do my best to join him.
Yeah, similarly, I always find it really stimulating when I play with musicians who kind of add so much nuance that it kind of takes away the pressure to like be a soloist, because you know things are happening. It's a kind of stream of motion, so regardless of if anyone is taking the, you know, the kind of helm at any one point, something's going to be happening, that like the group's going to be moving and kind of transforming regardless of if there's like a front man or not.
One thing that informed how today sounded was that we played a lot before the tape started rolling. Like while you guys were setting up, we were just kind of like, we couldn't resist sort of improvising and playing. Once you guys all stopped moving around and said, okay, there was like that thing that happens when you say we're recording, that you spend your life as a musician trying to transcend, which is not thinking or playing any differently than you did while there were people milling about the room. And so there was, for me, another warm-up period for the first few minutes of the first thing. And then it kind of like beautifully, we all kind of sounded like we turned our brains off and just accepted what was happening.
Bass player Chris Morrissey, drummer Mark Giuliana, and saxophonist and clarinet player Shebaka Hutchins talking about the process of working together for the very first time in this exclusive Jazz on 3 session, which we complete now with 3 further pieces. Thank you.
Thank you.
although it's, you know, we're stepping into an unknown territory, I think we all feel pretty comfortable in this context. And even Chris was half joking before we started that, wow, this would be a fun tour to just go to a new city every night and improvise for an hour and a half and see where it would go. So I think that's the sign of successful music making, is if you can leave and you just feel good in your body and not get too caught up in the details and just appreciate, you know, the moments we shared.
Drummer Mark Giuliana talking about the experience of working for the very first time in the Jazz on 3 studios with saxophonist and clarinet player Shabaka Hutchings. And, well, remember where you heard it first. We have a tendency of getting Shabaka Hutchings gigs. We put him together with the Sun Ra Orchestra. The next thing we knew, he was off on a European tour with them. So who knows, you may well see that trio with bass player Chris Morrissey in a town near you over the next few years. And remember, by the way, you can watch a film of the first track in that session, which is on the Jazz on 3 website, bbc.co.uk/radio3/jazz on 3. If you like Mark's sort of beats groove approach to jazz, then check out his Beat Music Project. They have an album called the Los Angeles Improvisations, which was released last year. He's also got a more, I guess, straight ahead album out at the moment with a quartet called Family First. This is Jazz on 3 with me, Jez Nelson. A reminder that at the end of the show tonight, we'll be paying tribute to the British piano player John Taylor, who sadly died earlier this month. Firstly, though, time for the latest in Sarah Gale Brand's series interviewing some of the unsung heroes of the British jazz scene. Now, to aficionados of British improv, the drummer Steve Noble is hardly an unknown. He's arguably the go-to drummer for visiting international free players. And his partnership with bass player John Edwards is, as we discussed on this programme earlier this year, one of the top rhythm sections in improv music. Steve has a down-to-earth approach to, I guess, life and the music that makes even the most far-out stuff seem within reach. But despite many appearances on this programme over the years, we've rarely actually talked about what he does. So we asked Sarah to do the honours and chat to Steve, and they started much earlier in his career with music that, on the surface at least, is a bit of a way away from free improv.
Steve Noble, welcome. Lovely to see you. And don't bang the table.
I'm a drummer. What do you expect?
I believe your sort of first work as a paid musician was with Rip Rig and Panic. How did you get involved with them?
I was working with a drummer from Nigeria called Elkan Agundi. Mm-hmm. So that was hand drums.
Right,
no
okay.
sticks. That was more traditional Nigerian music. Then I met other people around London, and part of them were forming this band, Rip Rig and Panic. And their drummer at the time was then working with the Slits, so they were not able to gig. So I said, well, I can bring myself and my friend from Nigeria. So we started working with them then. That was, I think, 83.
Working with Elkan and with Rip Ring and Panic, what do you think the lasting effect has that been on your playing? Can you still hear that in your music now?
Yes. You know, there is something. What's rhythm? I mean, is rhythm only coming from a certain part of the world?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's everywhere. It's in your body. And with certain groups that I operate, my own bands, like New, for example, Noble Edwards Ward, there's a lot of rhythms going on. And it doesn't necessarily have to come from the bass or the drums. It might come from Alex Ward on guitar. And like I say, there's other sorts of rhythms going on. You know, I grew up in a village. I could talk about all the rhythms in the village. You know, part of me saying that is, you know, maybe putting the middle finger up to certain individuals who only think it comes from a certain part of the world. But, you know, you want to hear the weir in our village? You want to hear that rhythm?
Yeah.
You want to hear the tractors going around the fields?
Yeah.
You know, all that type of thing?
It's all in there.
It is all in
there.
And
it all comes out.
And it's not trying to be, oh, man, let's talk about real crazy things. It's like, no, those are facts.
Yeah.
You know.
Thank you. I remember hearing you in 1993. It was my first ever improvised music gig, and you were there. You were the first improvising drummer I ever heard. What I had remembered about that time was how you seamlessly moved from time into abstract time, time, abstract. And I just wondered, how is that important to you in your playing, you know, to be able to kind of pick up quite idiosyncratic grooves and then drop them and then move on to something else?
Yes, it is. And obviously it's developed over the years, but, you know, and I've often talked about this with John Edwards. You know, we often play as what people term as a rhythm section. I mean, I don't think I would call it that. He's bass, I'm drums. But is, you know, I enjoy very much the fact that we don't necessarily have to be playing the same thing, but you can still have a sense of time. But it's important not to stress that a kind of one, i.e. one, two, three, four, one, two, three, four, you know, this type of thing. But you can play rhythmically so it flows in a more linear fashion, i.e. the circle would be much larger than if it was just four beats.
One, again, thing I noticed about you, which is I see very commonly now, but it was unique to me then, was how you use found objects. And I remember particularly the shell of an old burglar alarm.
Oh, that one, yeah.
And that gong sound.
Yeah,
and I remember asking you about that, actually. Oh, right. And that's, for me, sort of like, I can hear that. When I hear you playing, I can hear that gong sound. Tell me about using found objects.
Found objects, but also you've got these magazines, you've got these books that are informing you of what percussionists are looking for. So there was obviously a lot of the European percussionists looking at what would be termed more sort of ethnic type of percussion, you know, Chinese gongs, Chinese cymbals. And that kind of opens a door. You know, if you just say, right, well, I'll take those and that's it. No, use those to open a door. So what else might there be? You know, you could go to a drum shop and spend £150 on a very high-pitched disc.
Yeah.
Or you could say, hang on a minute, there's a bell over here that I could put in my pocket and go home with, and it won't cost me anything. I still laugh at the early gigs where you had to take everything. You know, I used to take an African sort of, you know, xylophone with me.
Yeah.
And you'd hit it once, then carry it home. This is like, you know, what, 3 foot long, and what am I doing?
Yeah, absolutely.
And now it's actually very pleasing when you just turn up with sticks.
Steve Noble talking to Sarah Gale Brand. And let's hear Steve in action now in a session recorded for Jazz on 3 back in 2001 together with saxophonist John Butcher. And this shows off Steve's extended techniques, as we've just heard, and his love of found objects. So here's a short piece from their suite called Flashbacks.
Thank you.
Saxophonist John Butcher in session with drummer Steve Noble from the Jazz on 3 archives back in 2001. Coming up in just a few minutes, I'll be joined by Liam Noble to pay tribute to John Taylor, who died last week. Time now, though, to sneak in just one more new release and something that really grabbed me from the big pile of new CDs that I have sitting by the CD player at home is Indigo Kid 2. It's the second album from this project from guitarist Dan Massori, inspired by his time living in Costa Rica and South Wales, and to quote Dan, the connectedness to rustic dwelling, beach fires, surfing and an outdoors lifestyle sounds great. It was something that I wanted to try and convey in my composition. And the lineup includes people like Ian Ballamy, who was actually Dan's teacher at the Royal Welsh College of Music, plus Martin France on drums and saxophonist Trish Clues. The album is called Fistful of Notes, and this piece is Carpet Boys. The project is called Indigo Kid 2. The album, Fistful of Notes, and that piece, Carpet Boys. The group led by guitarist Dan Massori. And if you've been a listener to this programme over the years, you will know that I'm always in love with the music of Bill Frisell. And yeah, Dan does a good job of kind of getting close to the magic that Bill conjures, I think, on that piece. And I like the kind of unison playing with saxophonist Trish Clues on that track. Also in the band, drummer Martin France and the bass player Tim Harris. And as I said, Ian Ballamy appears elsewhere on the album. And Dan is appearing with the Kindling Trio later this week. In fact, on Thursday the 30th at the Druid Stone in Haverford West in Pembrokeshire. And then at Porter's in Cardiff the night after, Friday the 31st. Now, last week we heard the sad and very unexpected news that the British piano player John Taylor had died at the age of just 72. He was actually on stage playing a gig in France. He was one of this country's very finest musicians, but witnessed by the fact that tributes have been appearing in papers, websites and blogs across the world, one of relatively few that had a genuinely international reputation. He was, alongside the likes of John Sermon and Kenny Wheeler, one of a magical generation of UK players who lit a fire under the music in the 1960s. He established himself on the global stage with the Azimuth Trio with Wheeler and Norma Winston, and worked across the world collaborating closely with European musicians Jan Garbarek, Harold Anderson and Palle Danielsson, as well as American players Joey Barron and Mark Johnson. He was regarded as one of Britain's finest and most enduring jazz composers. Well, joining me on the line is fellow piano player Liam Noble, who studied with John at one point and wrote a very warm and reflective tribute to him on Facebook last week. Thank you for joining us, Liam.
Thank you.
You wrote that of all the musicians I've ever met, his talent was the most perfect, complete, unreachable, heroic. Tell us what you mean by that.
Yeah, I think when you look at musicians and how they play, there are devices and materials and kind of vocabulary that they use, and you can kind of extract it and then use it yourself. And one of the things about John, I think, that was really enduring for me is that however much you tried to do that, you could never quite get to what he was doing somehow. He has a sort of impish kind of way of jumping around. There's a sort of restless kind of, it's like he wants to get on to the next thing. And it always sounds amazing to me, but I've never been able to replicate it.
Mm. Well, we've asked you to pick a couple of your favourite moments from quite a vast back catalogue John Taylor recorded in various ensembles and setups over the years. So introduce this first piece for us.
This is Pure and Simple. The reason I'm particularly fond of this piece is because in one of my lessons, and I wrote about this on Facebook, he was actually in the process of writing this piece, and I asked him what he was working on, and he played it to me. I sat and watched him play it, and he was kind of a bit unsure about what he was going to do with it. I mean, it sounded perfectly fully formed to me when I heard it. I wasn't about to offer any advice, but it illustrates his sort of flow of ideas. You know, I've never heard anything quite like it, really. It has kind of little funny, skippy, kind of disembodied motifs and sounds, and yet they somehow seem to all fit together. There's a point where he doubles the bass line with Palle Danielsson in this version. It would be more natural to dig in and make it a very strong bass. He kind of skips along it, and it's really, I think it's really eccentric and amazing, beautiful piece of music. Thank you.
from an album led by the American drummer Peter Erskine from 1992 called You Never Know. That's a piece called Pure and Simple, with John Taylor on piano. Pally Danielson was on bass. And we're talking about John Taylor because he sadly died last week. On the phone with me is the piano player Liam Noble, who studied with John for a while. Liam, in John Fordham's obituary in The Guardian, he talked about how John Taylor could easily have sort of stepped up and performed with the likes of Herbie Hancock and Chick Corea, who were in town recently. And of course, I think John was quite heavily influenced by Herbie Hancock. And we should think of him really in those terms. He was really up there with the greats of piano.
Yeah, absolutely. He's such a sort of original voice. I heard him recently on the radio. I was in the car listening, and after a few seconds, it's like, oh, I know who that is. But he has that quality, like I always hear with Duke Ellington. You know, it's like a couple of notes. It sort of sings out in a different way, you know, very distinctive.
Well, we'll close the programme in a moment with your second choice. Just to say that we'll be bringing you some of the highlights from the handful of live recordings of John that we made over the years later in the autumn. Do let us know if you have some favourites, whether it's gigs we've broadcast in the past or albums of John's that you've loved. You can email me jazzon3@bbc.co.uk or you can tweet at @bbcjazzon3. And John was about to celebrate the release of a new piano duo album, actually, with Richard Fairhurst, which is coming out in August on Basho Records, and Radio 3's Jazz Lineup will be playing a track from that this coming Saturday. There's another chance to hear Blue Note piano duo Jason Moran and Robert Glasper on next week's show. That was a fine gig running through the history of jazz piano. We're back at the normal time of 11 o'clock next Monday night here on BBC Radio 3. Thank you very much to my producer Chris Elcombe, and we'll end tonight with Liam Noble's second choice of a John Taylor tune. Tell us about this, Liam.
Well, looking on, we actually played in a concert, myself and Mark Lockhart and Norman Winston, of arrangements of British jazz musicians. And I was playing John's piano part. It was a transcription of exactly what he played. And after several attempts at trying to change things and put my sort of prints on it, I actually realised the only way to play it was just to play exactly what the notes were. His music has that quality of not a note wasted. And this song, it just shows his ability to get such a sort of nice sound out of the piano, and the way that he plays behind Norman with Kenny is incredible. You know, just the art of making a good sound.
Thank you very much, Liam. I appreciate you joining us to pay tribute to John Taylor.
Thanks, Jez.
We'll close tonight with that piece chosen by Liam from the album How It Was Then, from Azimuth, Kenny Wheeler, with Norman Winston and John Taylor. This is a piece called Looking On. Good night.
There's not a place that I don't see your eyes. Looking back, I see you smile. Looking on, the road is empty. Looking for a face I used to know. On the breeze, old conversations rise. There's not a place that I don't see your eyes looking back.
I'm John Shea, and welcome to another edition of BBC Radio 3 through